We will and we do and we are triumphing over the world because God is the power behind salvation.
Just how bad was our condition before God intervened through Jesus Christ? The Bible informs us it was worse than we ever imagined. And today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green looks closely at that condition in a message titled, The Plight of Man and the Power of God. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. And Don, what can we expect to learn from this message?
Well, Bill, the title of this message really kind of says it all. The plight of man is that he is dead in sin and unable to save himself. The power of God is that he's able to raise us from spiritual death and give us new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this message today, my friend, you're going to see the power and grace of God in salvation. If you want to be saved, you must be born again by a power that comes from God at his initiative. I think you're going to see Christ in a fresh way today as we study the Bible together on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, let's join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
I've titled this message, The Plight of Man and the Power of God. The Plight of Man and the Power of God. You will only fully appreciate the power of God if you understand more fully the plight from which he has delivered you. And so there's two basic points. The first point here is the plight of man in sin. The plight of man in sin. This is a description of you before you came to Christ. This is a description of you now if you are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not repented and believed in Christ for salvation. The plight of man in sin. Now, it's easy to think, well, sinners are going to receive judgment. But it's so much more than that, beloved. There's so much about unseen principles that Scripture reveals to us to understand how desperately bad the situation is. Man is in a miserable plight, a miserable condition apart from Christ. The misery, the desperate straits that man is in cannot be fully described by words, but we'll give it a shot with the help of the Scriptures. Man is headed for judgment, eternal judgment before God. That would be bad enough. But what makes it so desperate, what makes it so compellingly bad, is that man is unable and he is unwilling to prepare himself for the inevitable verdict and the consequences against his sin. In fact, Jesus said that men are so miserable in their plight that they don't come to the light. In John 3:19, it says that this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. How bad is man's plight? The darkness in which he is in, the darkness which he pursues, is that which will lead to his judgment. And Jesus said, he loves it that way. The darkness guarantees, seals his doom, and he pursues the darkness. He refuses to come to the light because he prefers the evil of his deeds to the holiness of God. He prefers his sin to the purity and the reign of Christ over his life. This is miserable. This plight of man in sin is unspeakably bad. And there's three aspects of it that I want to bring out to you from a little bit of a survey of 1 John here. Three elements that make the plight of man in sin so desperate. First of all, there's three subpoints then. The plight of man in sin and then three subpoints here. Why is it so bad for man? Why was it so bad for you before you came to Christ? Why is it so bad for you now if you're not a believer in Christ? Well, first of all, man blends into his hostile environment. Man blends into his hostile environment. The world is the hostile environment. The world is hostile to God. The world is opposed to God. The world is opposed to Christ. The world was acting according to its deepest held principles and loves and affections when it crucified Christ. And it's in that hostile environment that man finds himself, a world he lives in a world that is opposed to God and the gospel, and he fits in there. That's the point. Look at what John says about the world as we just take a survey of passages that mostly we've already looked at over the years. First of all, the world opposes God and opposes his will. Look at chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. This is the hostile environment. The world opposes God and his will. Chapter 2, verse 15, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world." These things flow from the source, the very nature of the world, and it's that utter hostility with the holy God of the universe. The world opposes God and his will. It is hostile to him. Not only that, the world opposes Christ and opposes Christianity. Look at chapter 3, verse 1, where it says at the end of the verse, it says, "The world does not know us because it did not know him." And in chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Don't be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you." The hostility of the world toward God and the people of God is settled, and it is irreconcilable. There is this hostile environment in which men move and have their being. This is the environment in which man lives out his life. It's an environment of hostility toward the God of the Bible, of hostility toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, when it comes to what it is that would deliver us from this hostile environment, the gospel, the world is filled with false teachers who confuse issues, who teach false things and lead people into hell and confirm them in their sin and depravity, all the while saying to them, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. This is part of the hostile environment. Look at chapter 4, verse 1, where John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because," here it is, "many false prophets have gone out into the world." False teachers, confusing matters, misrepresenting God, misrepresenting the gospel. So, step back for a moment. Here is man under the judgment of God. Here is man deserving the judgment of God and on the fast track to eternal condemnation. And he finds himself living in an environment that is hostile to God, opposed to God and his will, opposed to Christ, hating Christians, and filled with false teachers who would confuse the matters even further. He's in darkness, he loves the darkness, and the environment puts black curtains all around him, and false teachers turn off the lights even further. This is desperately bad. Man is in sin, he's in a hostile environment. Think about it, beloved. There is nothing in our world system, in our entertainment, in our environment, in our news, in our discourse, however you want to expand it, there is nothing in our world system whatsoever that would point men to Christ. This is desperately bad. The world does not call us to the gospel. The world does not honor Christ and lift him up. And man's miserable plight in sin is this. It goes beyond the environment. It's that he fits into that environment. He blends naturally into that environment like a fish swims in water. Listen to what Ephesians 2:3 says in this context, where Paul says, "Among them, among the dead, those who are dead in sin and under the wrath of God," he says, "among them, we all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Sinners fit in this environment. They're comfortable in this environment. They like the environment that they're in, and this is an environment that confirms them in sin and seals them for the day of judgment. This plight is desperate. Where is the help? Where is the deliverance that would come when a sinner who himself is hostile to God lives in an environment that is hostile to God and does ever more to drive the sinner further and further into the bondage of darkness? Where is help to come from? This plight is miserable. But, beloved, it's worse than that. There's more to the darkness than that, than the hostile environment. Secondly, the second subpoint here, if you're taking notes, is that man is blinded by his hostile enemy. He's blinded by his hostile enemy. We said, first of all, that he blends into his hostile environment, and he does. But on top of that, he is blinded by his hostile enemy. The plight of man is made worse than the environment, because outside of the world environment and ruling over the world environment, man has a supernatural enemy who is committed to keeping him in that darkness. The Bible teaches that Satan himself obscures the gospel with supernatural power of his own, obscures the gospel by stimulating sin and promoting false doctrine and false philosophies through false teachers, and in an unseen realm operating to so frame the thought and philosophies of men that it would further confirm men in their opposition to the gospel and hide the light of Christ from them. Staying in 1 John, just to look at a few verses where John himself alludes to this and points to it, look at chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Man blinded by his hostile enemy, the devil, where it says, "The one who practices sin is of the devil." This is a description of everyone apart from Christ. Men apart from Christ are practicers of sin. They are those who live in sin, walk in sin. And John says that they find their source in the devil. Jesus said, "You are a son of your father, the devil, who himself is a liar." Look at verse 8. "The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." Verse 10. "By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God." You have a supernatural, invisible being, Satan, the devil, stimulating men to sin, confirming them in sin, being the author of their sin. So much so, so closely related to the devil, that the Bible rightly describes men without Christ as being sons and children of the devil himself. An evil, wicked spirit as their father. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. Again, we're just kind of setting the environment that 1 John sets for the verse that we're going to look at. This is a miserable plight. It's a grievous plight that man is in. Chapter 4, verse 3, "Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world." This evil doctrine, this false doctrine that confuses the truth about Christ to unbelievers, the spirit is at work in the world and detracting men from the gospel. So much so that at chapter 5, verse 19, John, contrasting Christians from the world from which they were delivered, says in verse 19, chapter 5, verse 19, "We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." A wicked, evil, supernatural being opposed to God, ruling over the world environment in which men live. This is really bad. But the Bible goes even further in describing this blindness that's created by our hostile enemy. It says that Satan supernaturally blinds men to prevent them from being saved. Satan is not passive in this. He is actively blinding men to discourage them and to keep them from coming to the gospel. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says. I won't have you turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ." There is a supernatural blindness that Satan has blinded men with, to keep them from the gospel. It's not just that man in his heart hates the gospel, wants to continue in darkness. It's that Satan has blinded him from seeing the gospel. And so you have obstacle built upon obstacle. You have darkness built upon darkness. You have a man in darkness, in a world of darkness, ruled over by the prince of darkness. This is a terrible plight. When you lay it out in systematic fashion, it's utterly frightening. This is horrifying. That this is the condition of billions of people throughout the world. This is the condition of men throughout our country. This is the condition of the neighbor down the street. What's even more sobering for me is just knowing as your pastor that it's the condition of some of you in the walls of this room. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 says that unbelievers are in the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will, proclaiming their desire to be free and therefore not wanting to take on the yoke of Christ and the gospel. They're utterly oblivious to the fact that they're actually bound and slaves to the devil himself and simply instruments of his will, his children, his slaves, blinded by this hostile enemy. Do you see the miserable plight of man? Blinded by an enemy hostile to God, captive to this wicked foe. And yet, it's still worse. It's still worse. Third subpoint of this main point. The plight of man is such that he blends into his hostile environment. He's blinded by his hostile enemy. Thirdly, he is bound to his own hostile essence. He is bound to his own hostile essence. Man can't simply blame it on his environment. He can't simply blame it on the devil. Oh, the devil made me do it, as if that was contrary to the intentions and the purposes and the desires of his own heart. At his very core, man is hostile to God. He does not seek God. And, get this, he cannot come to God through his own power and wisdom. Look at chapter 2 of 1 John. Chapter 2 and verse 9. Again, we're just picking up little pieces to help set the context, to help you see the fullness of what was in the mind of the inspired apostle as he wrote. Actually, of the apostle as he wrote his inspired writings from under the inspiration of the Spirit. But in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now." He's marked by this hatred. Verse 11, "The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." This pervasive darkness in which he walks and this animating hatred in his heart toward God and toward those who love God. He is a slave. He is a captive to his own wicked heart in the midst of a hostile environment ruled over by a hostile enemy. The Apostle Paul confirms this and gives us other perspective in those familiar passages. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, where he said, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." This is a universal condemnation of the human race, collectively and individually. Man is bound by his own hostile essence. He does not seek for God. He is under this threat of judgment, this impending judgment, and he doesn't even seek for the one God who could deliver him. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8 add another perspective to it, where Paul said that the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. Listen to this. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says that a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. This is the plight of man in sin, my brothers and sisters in Christ. He blends into a world that is hostile to God. Satan has supernaturally blinded him, and in his own heart, he prefers the darkness over the light. He cannot understand the things of God. He is hopelessly and miserably lost. And this is the Bible's verdict on all of humanity. This is the condition of the human race. Universally, utterly, miserably lost. Let me ask you a question. In light of what the Bible says about that, left to man on his own in his own environment and under the dominion of Satan, where is the ray of hope for such a man? Where is the opportunity for deliverance? There is none. There is none. There is absolutely no hope by the power of man in this environment under the domination of the devil for any possible deliverance from that condition. He does not have it in himself. He doesn't have the power to do it. He doesn't have the desire to be delivered from it. This is utter, total darkness. Now, with all those supernatural foes and supernatural darkness arrayed against him, against man, that was once true of you, the question is, if all of those things are true, and they are, I mean, it's straight from God's word, how is it that any of you ever came to saving faith in Christ? How is it that anyone ever escapes under the domination of that kind of darkness? How is it that anyone has hope of eternal life when he's blends into this hostile environment, when he's blinded by a hostile enemy, and when he's bound to his own essence, which is hostile to God? How can anything come out of that? Point number two, you have to consider the power of God in salvation. The power of God in salvation. You see the surpassing power of God. You see the surpassing greatness of God in the fact that he has the power to intervene into that dark environment and deliver souls from it. He has the power to intervene and overcome the world environment in which a sinner lives and deliver him from it. He has the power to break the spell of Satan and to open the eyes that Satan has blinded. He has the power to do that. And he has the power to overcome the wicked, opposing heart, the sinful, rejecting, rebelling heart. God has the power to turn that in order to bring about deliverance. You must see the power of God in salvation. Because, here's the point, here's the bridge, here's the transitional point here. Given the miserable plight of man in sin, it is obvious that if salvation is ever to occur, God himself and God alone must intervene on his own initiative in order to impart life in that dead environment. That is the only way that salvation can occur. Because there is nothing in the world to prompt it, there is nothing in the heart of man to prompt it. It has to come from outside man. It has to come from outside this world for anyone to be saved from sin. And that, my friends, is exactly what John is saying in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Look at it with me. And I am so excited about this text that's in front of us in light of everything that we've just said. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Our situation at birth was certainly hopeless if God had left it there, but thankfully, he didn't. And Pastor Don Green will turn to the power of God in salvation next time on the Truth Pulpit as he continues our series, Safe on Judgment Day. We hope you'll join us then. Right now, Don's back here in studio with a special invitation.
Well, friend, if you are anywhere near the Cincinnati area and you don't have a good church home, I invite you to visit us at Truth Community Church. I'm in the pulpit almost every Sunday, and we have a loving congregation that would simply be thrilled to meet you and welcome you to our body. We are striving to manifest the principles that you heard taught today. Why not come and see us? Bill will help you find us on our website.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com for directions and service times. There you'll also find all you need to get CDs of Don's teaching. Plus, you can access podcasts from right there. Once more, that's all at thetruthpulpit.com. And by the way, thanks for your support of this ministry. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.